We're turning in our Bibles this morning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, very important, one of the Beatitudes of our Lord. Matthew 5, verse 9, where we read, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Again, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Now let us pray. Our Father, we praise you this morning that our blessed Lord will be crowned with many crowns. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. To none of the angels have you said, "Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool of thy feet." But unto the Son thou hast given the highest place. And we thank you for that day when the whole of the universe, sin will have been banished, and Jesus Christ will be recognized by all as Lord of all. We await that day. In the meantime, thou hast put us in a place where there is constant war, and thy people are known as peacemakers. And we pray, O God, that as we study this portion together, that we may learn its meaning and learn it well, for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. In the great messianic portion of Isaiah chapter 9, especially those verses that are used at Christmas time, where we have the expression, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us the son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." The Lord Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And his children, they who have been born into his family, are recognized because they are peacemakers. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." This beatitude in the Sermon on the Mount introduces us to another of what we could call the birthmarks of the redeemed. Our Lord quoted Isaiah chapter 61 when he was in the synagogue at Nazareth, which is recorded in Luke chapter 4. When our Lord went to his hometown where he had been brought up, he turned to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 61, which definitely speaks of the Messiah. And I'd like you to turn with me to Isaiah 61. We want to read three verses. Isaiah chapter 61. This is what our Lord Jesus read in the synagogue at Nazareth. And these verses are very, very important. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the glad tidings to the poor. To the meek he hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." As our Lord read this portion, he stopped there, and he said to the people, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." My, they marveled at the wonderful words that proceeded out of his mouth. But when he went to explain the verses, it was then that they wanted to cast him over the brow of the hill and kill him. Now let us read the rest. "Not only to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, but the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." The Prince of Peace has a work that he is doing. He is planting trees. And the trees here are symbolic of people. For the Lord said in Matthew 15, verse 13, "Every plant that my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." In the first psalm, we read concerning the blessed man, he is as a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. So the fruit that is brought forth by the trees of God that have been planted by Christ bear fruit. And the fruit that these trees bear is seen in the Beatitudes of Matthew chapter 5. They are the birthmarks of the redeemed. Now, my friend, as we examine these, if you're here without Christ, you cannot, by your own activity, produce this fruit. This fruit flows from the inner life of the tree. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, when you read that expression, blessed are the peacemakers, it reminds us of the horrible condition and enmity which sin has wrought in the world. And I remind myself of what Paul wrote to his son in the faith, Titus, chapter 3 and verse 3, where he says, we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. That's the condition of man by nature. But then he says, but when the mercy of our God appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. There was a time in my life, friends, when I was not a peacemaker. I was hateful. And I was among those who hated one another. You see, if there were no strife, there would be no need for peacemakers. This was once our sad case, as Titus chapter 3 and verse 3 says. So if we are a lover and a worker after peace, this is one of the distinguishing marks of those who are children of the Prince of Peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, we want to do a number of things with this verse this morning. Number one, we want to look at the negative side of peace. Then second, we want to look at the positive side of peace from the Word of God. And then, finally, how can I be a peacemaker? For blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. When you say, is there a negative side to peace? There sure is. And when we talk about peace that is genuine, we are not talking about peace at any price. The genuine believer in Jesus Christ does not try to promote peace at any price. Because peace at any price is not peace. It is a false peace, and it is unworthy to be called peace at all. Because if it is peace at any price, the problem has never been dealt with. We're not talking about that. But what we are talking about is James 3 verse 17, where we read, and you all should be able to quote it, because we just went through the book of James, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits without hypocrisy. And I want you to notice the words. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. Did you notice that? It is first pure. Peace is not sought ever at the expense of righteousness. God doesn't work that way. God deals with man when he gives man peace of heart, peace of conscience, peace of knowing that his sins are forgiven. He has first of all dealt with sin righteously. Grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life, we read in the last verse of Romans chapter 5. Now note, this beatitude here in Matthew chapter 5. It follows the one before it. The one before it said, blessed are the pure in heart. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. You cannot have peace without purity. And God deals with the purity first. And out of the purity flows peace. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. You see, it's a purity that gives quality to peace. This is such a mercy and a peace that God approves. Now this is the language of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, where the writer to the Hebrews says, follow peace with all men and holiness, apart from which no man shall see the Lord. Peace and holiness go together, just as purity and peace go together. They always are united. And by the way, this is how our Lord Jesus himself walked. I want you to turn now to see the life of the Lord in Matthew chapter 10. Just a few chapters further than chapter 5. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Where our Lord is laying down the stringent areas of discipleship to which we are called. And he says in verse 34, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against the mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. And this is true because the gospel of Jesus Christ divides men. The person of Christ is a divider of men. For a person is either in Christ or he's out of Christ. He either has peace with God or he is still at enmity with God. And Christ becomes the means of division. Our Lord in the 10th of Matthew has gone forth over the cities of Israel to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. But his message was rejected by the religious leaders. The people rejected his disciples. Two of his disciples said, Lord, shouldn't we call fire down from heaven and destroy them? Our Lord turns to the multitude and he says, think not that I'm come to send peace on the earth. There will not be peace apart from righteousness. There's a negative side of peace, friends. So when God gives his people peace, it's a genuine thing. Did you get that? It's a genuine thing because it flows out of purity. Peace with God is a result, friends, of my sins being forgiven, my sins being removed, being justified by faith. We have peace with God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now let us look at the positive side of peace. Since this is a birthmark of the redeemed, we don't want to dwell too long on the negatives. Let's get to the positives. To me, the positive side is in Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, where we read, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Here is a positive command of the Lord regarding peace. If it be possible. What does that if it be possible mean? There are some people it's impossible to be at peace with. It is impossible to comply with Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. It infers that this is not a simple task. It is not a simple task. This is a task that calls for genuine vigilance. Here is a task that calls for self-discipline. Here is a task that calls for earnest prayer. God calls us as his children, if it be possible, live at peace with all men. But you see the problem here, on the positive side, the state of human nature is such that offenses come. They come. But it is our part as believers in Jesus Christ, to see that we conduct ourselves in such a way that we give no just cause for complaint against us. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live at peace with all men. And when you read the biographies of the great men of God, they had a lot of struggles. If you read the biography of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and the wickedness of those who were in what is known as the downgrade controversy near the end of his life. The battle was that great. Spurgeon said, "It's killing me." And it did. Spurgeon died at 56 years of age. The downgrade controversy killed him. It's amazing. When you read the life of John Wesley, it was not easy. The story is told of John Wesley, who was crossing a bridge, and it was a narrow bridge. It was just wide enough for one person. And in the middle of the bridge over the river, another man met him. Now, who's going to either lie down and let the other one step over him? Who's going to do it? And this man looked at Wesley. He said, "I never lie down for a jackass." And Wesley came back. He said, "I'll do it every time." And he got down. I think Wesley was right. You see, as much as possible, if it be possible, live at peace with all men. We must give heed to the exhortation that's found in Ephesians 4, verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is the mark of a child of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now we cry out, how can I be a peacemaker? What are the ingredients necessary for me to be a peacemaker? I've come to the cross. I've trusted Christ as my personal Savior. And if I'm going to manifest this grace of being a peacemaker, what is involved? What is involved? And I'd like to give you four ingredients that are involved in being a peacemaker. And they're very important. If these aren't ingredients are lacking, you're not a peacemaker. And I met some believers, they're genuinely saved, who are not peacemakers. And they must take this passage to heart. For we represent not ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And usually when a Christian is not a peacemaker, it is because they are preaching themselves rather than Christ Jesus the Lord. The ingredient, number one, cultivate the grace of lowliness, which is the opposite of pride. Cultivate the grace of lowliness. This is the opposite of pride. Proverbs 13 verse 10 states, only by pride cometh contention. And if you're not a peacemaker, the reason for it is you are too interested in yourself and not interested enough in others. Let every man look not on his own things, but on the things of others. Only by pride cometh contention. So the first ingredient is cultivate the grace of lowliness. The second ingredient is cultivate meekness, which is the opposite of self-assertiveness, the opposite of that determination to press my will at all costs. Meekness. Meekness, friends, is what characterized our Lord. Behold, shall thou daughter of Zion, behold thy king cometh unto thee. He is meek and lowly. Our Lord said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. As we studied the Beatitude of verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It is totally contrary to all the conditions of the world. In our dog-eat-dog society, it is the aggressive person gets ahead. Go for it. That's the language of the world. The language of the child of God is the meek shall inherit the earth. The third ingredient of a peacemaker is cultivate the grace of being long-suffering, which is the opposite of impatience. Oh, that grace of patience, long-suffering. And you know what it is to be long-suffering? It's the opposite of being short-suffering. We can understand it when we put the emphasis at the right place. And then finally, cultivate what it means to forbear one another in love. For love is the queen of all graces. And 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 7 says, love endureth all things. Oh my. I don't know if you realize it or not, but preaching on these Beatitudes, a person who ministers the Word of God has to first of all mean something to you before you can ever expect it to work in the life of anyone that you preach to. And when we talk about cultivating the grace of being long-suffering, it's the opposite of being impatient. Oh, friends, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Four ingredients. Cultivate lowliness. Cultivate meekness. Cultivate long-suffering. And cultivate what it means to forbear one another in love. For love endureth all things. Years ago, my wife and I entertained in our home a gracious missionary from South Africa. He said that another missionary from another compound a couple hundred miles away came to stay at his home. He said he was most difficult to live with. He said he ordered my wife around and hardly anything suited him. And all the while he was there, he was laboring hard, making a translation of the New Testament. And he said, God gave me the ability to endure everything while that man was in my home about a month. And he said the man went back to his mission station. He had his work accomplished. He had translated the New Testament into the language of the people that he had labored among, and he died as soon as he got the translation back to that area in Africa. He said, now suppose I would have been impatient with him and hard. He said, I would have ruined that work. But now there's a multitude of people, a tribe of people, who have the New Testament in their language. Love, friends, endureth all things. Finally, there's a reward for the peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You see, this is proof, friends, that these Beatitudes do not contemplate the moral virtues of the natural man. No, this is proof that it is the life of the regenerated man, the spiritual man, for he shall be called the children of God. You see, to be made a child of God is to be renewed in the image and likeness of Christ. And that missionary that I told you about, he manifested what? the life of Christ. He certainly didn't manifest the life that is seen on the New York Stock Exchange. He didn't manifest that life. He manifested the life that's seen in Christ. He was meek. He could have thrown that other missionary out, but his strength was under control. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. You see, they shall be called the children of God. Now, to be called a child of God, is there anything higher? Did you ever think of Jeremiah, for instance? What's the greatest tribute that was ever paid to Jeremiah? What do you think of when you think of Jeremiah the prophet? I think of a man who wept a lot. When I read the book of Lamentations, how he wept over the city. How does the city lie solitary? He wept over Jerusalem. He endured much. The greatest thing that was ever said of Jeremiah was said about him by the disciples of the Lord. One day the Lord Jesus said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Remember that question? Well, he said, "Some think you're John the Baptist. Some think you're Elijah. Some think you're Jeremiah." The greatest tribute paid to him, "Lord, well, you're like Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is like you." Wouldn't it be great if someday the Lord Jesus could say, "Who do men say that I am?" And they can say, "Some say that you're like Philip Baumberger." The greatest tribute that could ever be paid to me. How about your name? Can you put your name there? "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." The people see Christ in us. Are we peacemakers? You see, God himself is the God of peace. Hebrews 13:20. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus." Now holy peacemakers are recognized as such by their brethren. This is the reward. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Now we come back to where we began. Isaiah 61 says, "They shall be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." My friend, have you been planted by God? It doesn't matter who else plants you, for you're going to be rooted up. But if you're planted by God, you'll stand. And you'll stand amidst the storms of life. Or if you haven't been planted by God, why not come to Christ today and cry out from the depths of your soul, "Lord Jesus, this is what I need. This is what I want. I need to be planted by you." Because this is speaking of something that you don't get by nature. It only comes by divine grace. This is a fruit of being born of God. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Are you a tree of righteousness, bearing fruit? And here's one of the fruits of the tree. You're a peacemaker. And others know it. You're called a child of God. Let's pray together. Our Father, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we acknowledge the need of being a peacemaker. We're in the midst of a warlike society. We are living in the world that is opposed to thee and thy grace. But we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that thou hast saved us. Thou hast brought us to life in Christ. You have made us your own. And we ask you now that you take the things of Christ and with them speak to our hearts. Or if there are any here this morning who are still strangers to thy grace, who know not a life in Christ. Oh, may they not be satisfied with their condition, but may they turn and live. We pray for Jesus' sake. Upon thine own that have truly believed in thee, send us forth with the commandment ringing in our souls, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live at peace with all men, for we shall then be called the children of God. For Jesus' sake, amen.